Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today.
Through Webcology here on WMR.FM. It's the 11th of April, 2024. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls. How you doing today, Christine?
Hey, I'm doing a bit better than last week. My bronchitis is significantly better, but I still cough a little bit. So if you hear me do that, I apologize. I just didn't get to the mute button fast enough.
Okay, well, you know what? We actually kind of got a treat for you today on the show. We have Terry Van Horn, Webmaster T, one of the original SEOs. He's going to be in a little bit later. So Terry's one of those guys who's been around so long, seen so much, been through so much in the industry that you can give him any given topic and just let him go. So, you know, the last half of the show is going to be really easy. Oh yeah, actually. we'll say something controversial to Terry and let him go at it. Before we go any further, I want to give a huge shout out and thanks to Audience Key, our sponsor. Currently exploring the skirt of Mount Everest for real.
Yeah, she is.
If you're writing copy for your website, use Audience Key. You want to map concepts across your web page, use Audience Key. You want to have like much more powerful anchor text in links on your website, helping direct your users, and more importantly, helping direct search bots around your site. Check out Audience Key. You want to have one of the most elegant editing environments to work in, side by side text. Again, check out Audience Key. And check out Audience Key anyway, because they make this show possible, and we want to give them special love.
Yes, always. And it's an excellent tool. So.
And speaking of special love, Christine.
Yes.
What Google, you know, sometimes when you work with Google, when they don't take something away, it makes you feel like all warm and fuzzy, like they care about you or something, right? So we get to keep it. We get to keep the search command.
Site command.
I'm sorry, the site command. Yeah. When you want to know in all pages from a certain URL, a certain site, you know, in Google, you type in the site command and it shows you everything from that URL.
Most of it's
not going away.
Thank goodness. I mean, it was bad enough that it took away cache, which I really actually use quite frequently. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like if the site might be malicious, I used cache. Now I can't do that anymore. When did Google last call your site? Cache. Oh, I can't do that anymore. But at least you still get to keep the site because that would be really, really bad if that went away.
So that's the thing that Google's not taking away from you this week. Now for the rest of the news. Google hasn't actually taken anything away. Google's one of those zero-sum game environments. If you've been demoted, someone else has moved in and taken that spot. So that's just the way it is. But the update is still going on. 36th day of the March 2024 Google Core update. This is a many-parted update. So there's several elements that are all sort of glommed in together. For instance, it started as a helpful content update, which it isn't anymore.
And it's even more than that. It was helpful and it was spam in the beginning of March, and then it became a core update. But the helpful content update has moved into the core update, but it's moved in as a different form and we don't know what the form is yet.
Well, and this is something I'm actually a little bit confused on. I got this feeling that helpful is going to become Everflux. It's going to become just part of the way Google's algorithms operate on a longer basis. So it's a day-by-day thing, or is it part of core updates moving forward? They've been kind of ambiguous on this.
Yeah, and I haven't got an answer whether it's just part of the core updates or if it's part of the core ranking signals, because core ranking signals operate all the time. And that's what happened with Panda and Penguin and why you don't hear about those anymore, because they moved into the core. But the helpful moved into core update, so I don't know. And I also couldn't get an answer yet on if, like the HCU, it runs all the time. Because we know the HCU runs all the time, and the updates are just when they update something to it. So I don't know. And we also know that it moved into the core update as a new system. So it's not just like the one classifier anymore. But at the same time, nobody recovered from the September that we know of, that from the September update, where so many sites lost traffic. So, and our guest later can talk to us about this, because I know he talked to Glenn Gabby, who theorized that they were going to replace the classifiers. And so that's why we haven't seen an update. But I don't know. I mean, any improvements, but I don't know. HCU is such a weird thing. Because Google knows exactly what it's looking for, because it has to make it a math problem. But they don't really give us a lot of real details on it. So,
well, we're going to come back to this in a couple seconds. Yeah. As I said, Terry Van Horn is in the house. And as a survivor of 1,000,001 algorithm updates, core updates, Google changes, and shifts in the environment, if anyone has a truly experienced take on what this is, where it's going, and how Google does these things. Terry's one of the, you know, you can probably count these people on your hands, on your fingers and toes. That's how few of them there are in the actual world, who've lived through everything. Terry's one of them. So we're going to be coming back to that in a second. Before we do, we got some other stuff about non-Googly things. So this one is really neat, really weird. I'm not sure how to take it.
It's weird.
We're at the tail end of the hype era in the AI revolution.
Well, LLM.
Or the LLM revolution, sorry, and the LLM part of the AI revolution.
Yeah.
And when I say tail end of the hype era, I think it's that, you know, people have been using LLM-based AI models for a year and a half now, almost 2 years now. No, about a year and a half, year and a half. And when they first came out, there was just breathless speculation about how they'd change the world, how we could do so much with them, how, you know, they'd, just, they'd be replacing all jobs, etc. And as it turns out, when people actually get to use them, there's only so much you can do with this tool. And that's not to say there's not a lot you can do. There's a hell of a lot you can do. But it hasn't changed the world entirely. Solved a lot of problems, yeah. But it hasn't changed everything.
Has it really solved a lot of problems? I don't know about that. We can talk about that another day.
It has in medicine. There's been huge breakthroughs in medicine because of this. Yeah. So
the commercial release.
So moving forward, OpenAI and Meta suggests that they're on the brink of releasing a new artificial intelligence model that will be capable of reasoning and planning. This is what executives at OpenAI, supported by Microsoft, and at Meta, the parent company of like Facebook and Instagram. So Meta's rolling out Llama 3 in the coming weeks. OpenAI is saying ChatGPT 5 should be coming out soon. I heard early summer. Joel Pinault, vice president of research at Meta, suggests that they're working hard to figure out how to get these models not to just talk, but to actually reason, plan, and have memory. Okay, so that's story number one. OpenAI and Meta are ready to release AI models that are capable of reasoning.
And by the way, just to add to that, reasoning and planning are considered important steps on the way to artificial general intelligence, which is human level cognition. That's from the FT. So just so people know what we're talking about, we're not talking about chatbots. We're talking about like it actually like can basically think a little bit.
Now, in the same breath, almost like definitely the same week, the chief AI scientist over at Meta, Yann LeCun, has suggested that were actually so far away from being able to create an artificial intelligence that's actually intelligent, has memory, and can reason, that it's probably never, ever actually going to happen. So this is the even bigger example of hype machine on one side and actual engineer saying, well, that's really cool. We could have it the whole world, except it doesn't work that way on the other.
Yeah, because if we look at it, the ones who's saying it for Meta are the in the sea level. And the one who's saying no is the chief scientist at Meta, who also has won a Turing Award. So he's, you know, very respected in the field. He doesn't always agree with the field, but he's respected in the field. So the weird thing is these stories came out on the same day. So he's been saying that he thought it would be like 5 years away, but now he's saying he doesn't even think it might be possible, or if it is, it's decades away. But then OpenAI Meta released today that their next version, like this summer, is going to have the ability to reason and plan. And he's the Meta scientist, chief scientist, it's LeCun, right?
Yeah, LeCun.
Says that's just not happening. It has no ability to do that. So I just think that's a really weird timing that they both contradict each other.
I think juxtaposing these two stories against each other is kind of instructive, again, in that there's a hype machine out there in the tech world that often leads us around by the nose, when in reality, those incredible improvements are either iterations on stuff that's already sort of happened before, or they're pipe dreams. Oh my God, it's incredible, but the sky isn't actually rising. It's just sitting where it always has been.
Well, interestingly enough, and this isn't one of our stories, I read it yesterday, so I'm just going to throw it in here, is that a lot of the AI stuff we have found out is actually humans. So like Amazon said that they had like these self-checkout stores, you know, where you just walk out, but they had thousands of people watching people in the store. And Sundar from Google, CEO, said that their Gemini had all these capabilities. And then we found out the video was fake and there was a lot of humans putting in text prompts. So, and then we know with OpenAI, it was like all miraculous how it talks like a human and conversated like a human. But then we found out it was trained on many, many humans, and many, many humans scrubbed the data, paid $2 a day in Kenya, right? So it is interesting to know that behind the scenes. So it's possible they could simulate without it actually being with a lot of human help. I don't know. But yeah, it is interesting that these two stories came out on the same day, and one of them happens to be the chief AI scientist for Meta. So.
Being the fun-loving narcissist that you have to be a long-term radio host, I have to say it's wonderful to have people from Microsoft confirm what we've been saying all along. If you're going to be using AI, you need human intervention, damn it. Just the way it works.
It is interesting. We'll find out soon. But I will tell you, from all the people I follow on LinkedIn, I follow a lot of the main researchers, the head of AI for major companies like Meta and Hugging Face and OpenAI, all of them. There is a lot of doubt being cast on the ability of it to do this in the near future by those people. And then also the power issues are coming into play now. How much power electricity it requires to run these systems. So there's a lot of things coming up soon, and we'll talk about some of this next week because it's not really finalized yet. There's even new laws coming out, new AI policies, decisions about copyright. So there's a lot hanging in the balance here. So it's a pretty big claim by OpenAI and Meta to say that they're ready to do this.
Okay, a couple of quick Google stories. Then I want to loop back to get Terry, because Terry's been sitting patiently waiting in the green room, and I want to get him in here as quickly as we can. But before we do it, Terry will definitely have something to say on this, no doubt. You remember late last week, early this week, when Danny was on Reddit forums? God, Danny, Reddit. Reddit is not a kind environment for you, brother.
Oh gosh, no! They keep deleting his posts.
they don't like him over there very much. Over on Reddit, Danny's tried to explain why Reddit is coming up in the.
Also on Twitter.
Don't you did this on Twixter, and then you put this was posted up on Twixter as well. Why Reddit and Quora and stuff like that keeps coming up in search results? And basically, Danny's answer, which is true, but in that really roundabout, frustrating way that makes people grit their teeth and go, why the hell did you say it in the first place? Because users have shown Google that's what they like.
Yeah, they
Basically,
so misinterpreted that.
So is it, like, were we counting clicks here or something? Like, when you got somebody in a windowless room going 6 clicks at Reddit, 4 clicks at Quora, and only 1 click at Google search? Like, how do you
No.
quantify this?
No, remember, we talked about this, like, I don't know, about 6 months ago. So Reddit search was really broken, and no one could find anything on Reddit. So Google decided that meant, because they would go to Google, and they would say, whatever I'm looking for, Reddit. Right? And Google decided that meant people wanted Reddit in the search results. But that's not what was happening. What was happening is people couldn't find things on Reddit. So they went to Google to find the things on Reddit because Google had indexed the pages on Reddit.
So,
so they misinterpreted
success is due
the
to its
whole
failure.
Thing. Pretty much, because they're paying Reddit for the data, right?
That is
it's
such
like
a
I
tech
did a
bro
search.
story.
It is. And I did a search yesterday. And like typically what's coming up now is after I got a 1,000 pixel SGE, which is totally something else, there was Reddit, Reddit Core, Reddit. And I'm like, okay, this result didn't require any of those, but let alone Reddit, Reddit Core, Reddit. So sometimes I get as many as like 8 to 10 Reddit Core, Reddit results, which is what people are talking about. And also it's coming up for things that are completely wrong for Reddit and Core, like your money, your life searches. So about health or finance or those kind of things. It's coming out for that too. So it's like, that's purely people's opinions on Reddit, right? So if I'm searching for and I had this happen to me with bronchitis and like nutrition, and it was all Reddit and Quora posts. And I'm like, I want an actual website that has real medical advice on what nutrition is good for bronchitis. And I got to like 30 or 35 before I found one authoritative site on like one medically based, nutrition based site. Everything else was opinion.
Do you think maybe method of verifying user behaviors or user preferences that I outlined, getting some guy in a small windowless room just to count clicks, might be more efficient?
It might be more legitimate. I think the problem is that Google doesn't know how to handle the AI creation crunch. And I honestly, it's just a personal opinion. I don't think the CEO has been doing a good job. And so what they do is they take these very shiny object approaches, quick approaches to like solving something. And obviously you can see that in this, because instead of doing a deep dive and analysis on why people were looking at Reddit, they just saw the Reddit searches and went, okay, put Reddit at the top with the hidden gems algorithm. So it's just a very weird thing, but it's not a good search experience. And it's not just you and me as SEOs complaining, which you think they would kind of take seriously, but all of us are telling them it's a problem. But academics have been noticing it. Large scale publications have been talking about it. Google's really going to start suffering a reputation hit pretty soon if they don't do something about making the search results like useful, meaningful, and relevant.
Okay. This is actually probably a good time to bring Terry in. Mostly because Terry has seen Google results since before they were actually the most important thing since sliced bread. Terry very likely saw the original Google results. Terry Van Horn is a long-term webmaster. People might remember him from SEO Pros, from a series of podcasts he did with another old-time SEO, David Harry, from work that he did with
Bill Slosky.
Bill Slosky. I was going to say innumerable website. Bill Slosky, absolutely. Or they might just remember the moniker Webmaster T. Terry has been around since before I was around, which has been a hell of a long time. He's been a guest on Webcology a number of times, and Terry Van Horn, aka Webmaster T, brother man, welcome back to Webcology.
Thanks, Jim. Always good to get on Webcology.
Well, today was fun because today is fun having you. We're towards the end of this long-term rollout.
You made a point earlier, and it was one that.
The SEO world is in some weird sense of chaos right now. There's a whole bunch of anger and finger pointing, mostly at Google. I think there's people feel very disjointed. This has been probably the most impactful update in my working memory. And Terry, you've been through it all before. Earlier this week, you published an article on your SEO pros blog. My 20-year history with Google updates, or SEO triage, HCU recovery by a recovered site owner, which was, by the way, HCU recovery. That's a rare occurrence, is it not? Terry, let's start at the very beginning. SEOtriage.ca, what's this all about?
Well, Christine follows Twitter quite a bit. Mm-hmm. She probably knows I was on these people pretty heavy because sense of entitlement was pretty...
You mean the people who got so, but for want of a better term, butthurt because of the how badly that hurt they got by the update?
Yep. And okay. They were taking it personally, like Google doesn't like me also. And, you know, they're favoring big brands and, you know, all the malarkey that whoever taught them all this nonsense told them to cover the fact that they taught them stuff that we quit doing in about 2005.
There is a lot of that out there.
Oh, my God. Some of them are even still using places that I was using in 2005.
Yeah, so there's a lot of old technique. Amazing. There's a lot of advice out there that seems to be regurgitations of stuff that was being said a long time ago. Now, having a tight website, being a good webmaster, a lot of those old tips are still valid, are they not?
That's what I've always looked at SEO like this. It's half web development and half marketing. That's okay.
Now, sometimes SEO, selling SEO is more about marketing than web development.
It's always more about marketing than selling SEO.
So part of the introduction of your introduction was you've been through every update that Google's ever made. You've seen, analyzed, and worked through.
Yeah.
When
I started SEO, and especially SEO pros around 2000, David later called it forensic SEO. Basically, I'd look and say, what are these spammers doing?
You know? Okay.
So I've always been interested in that. Like, one of my first jobs was because I told some people that I could detect cloaking, and they got all upset. And then another company here in Toronto heard that I could do that and tried to hire me to do it. And I laughed and said I'd do it to amuse myself. I would never subject it on the public.
For listeners, this is back at a time when if you did serve cloaked content and got caught, you were spamming. You were going to lose ranking.
It still is spam and always will be spam because with cloaking, you're showing search engines one thing and the public another. And you're using IP addresses of the crawlers to detect, well...
Yeah, to detect an IP sniffer.
Yeah, I don't really like to give out all the details because then people do it and then
that's such an old trick. I mean, that's stuff that Oil Man was doing back in 1998.
Lots of people were doing it. I'm not even a really good programmer and I was doing it. So, you know, there you go. Yeah. Can I just say one thing about...
Yeah.
You were talking about the... site syntax?
Yeah.
I use it all the time. It's one of my favorite tools. But it no longer works. I have to stoop to scraping Google to get what I want. It only gives 300 results now. It even if you set it to do 100, it seems to do 100, and then the view more, you're getting about 10 at a time. And when you get to the end, they've only given you 300 results, and it's a blank page. It wasn't the old message of, you know the one I mean.
Why is Google taking these tools away from us? I mean,
okay,
I think...
I'll tell you why I use it.
They're aware about that issue now, and they say they're fixing it. How long that will take, kudos.
What, the limited response from the site command?
Yeah, that site's broken. That's why people thought it was going away, but Google came out. I don't know if it was Danny or somebody, but they said that it's they're working on fixing it.
Okay. Terry,
if you go into the results where you do your preferences, it tells you in there they'll only give you 300.
Okay. Over the years, Terry, we've seen Google remove several different tools that SEOs were using. We've seen them limit keyword data.
Take it away. Not provided. That's not limited. Not provided is giving you none.
Okay, take keyword data away entirely, at least from Universal Analytics or Google Analytics. Why do they do that? Why do they give us some stuff for a little while and then take it away?
Because people were building sites that basically could rank for anything because it was dynamically working off that. That's an old spammer's trick.
Okay.
Again, I'll say right now, when it comes to spam, I won't talk very much about how it gets done because... Well, I don't want to help anybody or give anybody any ideas.
I can't wait till we get to the AI part of this conversation. We start talking about spam. That should be great fun. You've been through updates from 2003's Florida up until 2024's core update.
Yeah.
Does Google... This is. I'm not sure exactly how to phrase this question because I think I know the answer, but I want to draw your answer out.
Okay.
So it's kind of probably a multi-parted question, but does Google have a plan moving into the updates, and do they always get the outcome they expect?
Well, we know they always get the outcomes they expect because they quite often say this is going to affect 11% of results. So it's all being tested. They should know what's going to happen. However, you know, they're doing limited tests and we're probably talking billions of pages, right?
Well, indeed, the live web is much bigger than any sandbox they can possibly work in. In fact, I think their only real sandbox is the live web.
That's right. Correct.
Well, the reason I ask the question like that is we've seen Google make algorithm changes, have an update, and then announce a change, and then pull back on it, make changes to it after when they see that there was other effects than their original intention.
Yeah, I believe they did that a little bit with the payday loan update. It had some collateral damage. That's what I call it. Do I think there's any collateral damage on HCU? Not a chance.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. Okay.
It's not going to get dialed back. Actually.
I see. Okay. So Google's not going to make any changes. But
no, because
do you want to stand by the statement there was no collateral damage? Like everybody who got hit everyone who got hit by this update deserved to get hit? I mean, some of them clearly did. There's some shitty
do you
websites
mean by that deserve.
Well, deserve is a weird word.
Nobody deserves to lose their livelihood. Okay. However,
bank robbers.
From what I've seen, right? These people were steadily driving traffic, even though they were getting hit by updates, right? Because the trust that Google had in them at the time, right? Which is why in that post, Jim, I kept going to the trust factor. So, Okay. So yeah, that's why I don't think it gets dialed back. And that's how that's how Forbes can write about supplements, right? Mm-hmm. And be number one. Well, that's how Verge can write an ad for Brother and our review
the laser printer
and escape three or four updates for the reviews. Why? Because they have the authority to do.
But Terry, aren't those the ones that are going to target in the May 5th update?
Pardon me?
Aren't those the ones that they warned and then they're going to target in the May 5th update?
Believe me, yeah, that's what I believe. Like if Forbes was on May 5th, suddenly not a lot of their stuff not there, I wouldn't be surprised.
What's coming on May 5th?
That's the Parasite SEO update.
Yeah, it's not about parasite shit.
No, I'm saying that's stuff. What they're calling
it. Jim.
Yeah. Is that the name that's being used to describe it, the Parasite update?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the name.
Okay, here's the, it's about abuse of domain authority.
Okay. Now, that is a Mozzie kind of term.
Which is in the Google documentation now for the updates.
Okay.
Okay. And so, for instance, if you're acting like all these smaller publishers and you're basically using your domain authority to rank, I believe Google's going to pound them all.
Okay.
How do I say it? Maybe not pound them all, but there's going to be some lessons learned. I'll put it that way.
Well, okay, Forbes Online is got the reputation of being one of the premier pay to publish outlets. You can get anything you want there if the price is right.
No, that's not right.
Really?
Tell me where on Forbes they're selling anything, because I couldn't find it.
If you become part of the Forbes Council, you can get your post on there. Correct. So you pay like $2,000 and your post on there. So it's paying. It's just not paying.
Really? I get those messages from all kinds of SMEs who say, I can get your post on Forbes.
Oh, they can.
I went to Forbes and looked for where they were saying you can pay X and get into our website. I didn't see it.
Right, that's the Forbes Council.
Pardon
it's a
me?
Special membership. It's the Forbes Council. It's a special membership. And then you're allowed to publish on there. There was somebody who did a lot of misinformation.
Oh, so in other words, they charge people to offer us articles that are not very high quality. Like I wouldn't publish it myself, some of it.
But it's at the domain, Forbes.com.
is just stuff to make people, to put, it's just dram. Sorry.
Yeah, well, and so you're suggesting on the 5th, that's all going away. That's just getting,
not all of it.
Getting slammed.
No, I'm saying someone's going to pay the price. Someone, they got to make a, look at all these people are screaming about it. Why do you think we think about it, Jim? Okay. Mm-hmm. When Panda ran, what was going on? Well, there was all kinds of people talking about content farms and how the SERPs were junk. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, what's happened just before the HCUs? Everyone is complaining about
the
SERPs results.
The SERPs have gone steadily downhill.
For years.
For years, this yeah. Since before pre-pandemic, you could say this slide started.
Okay. Well, I'll be honest. I retired in 2000 and semi-retired in 2019 and was lost in Netflix for about a year and a half.
Well, you missed a golden shower era of SEO.
I read about it later.
I think people could argue that SERP quality has been declining. For 5 years
now. In a free fall now.
Can it be turned around?
No. I don't think so. They lost 2% to Microsoft, right? In less than a year. And people are complaining about their results, and they just keep getting worse. And then they're going to put their lousy AI out there because some guy seems to think that it's going to work and it's not going to bankrupt them. Yeah, that's all my theory. You don't want to.
Well, Google and not like OpenAI or Meta's Perplexity. Google is trying. Is it Meta or is it Adobe's Perplexity? Google is adding Gemini in places it can. Gmail is an example. Google Docs is another example. It'll help you write.
They're a day late and a dollar short. You understand that, right?
Well, I mean, there was
I've had Copilot in all of my applications for quite a while.
Do you find yourself using it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I write some of my SEO with it. Offline, I'll tell you exactly. Well, I did tell you exactly what I do.
Yeah.
It's not spam. It's just using it to do the stuff that takes me 7-8 hours, I now can write the article instead of just doing the research. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. So I'm writing a lot more now.
Yeah, I find AI an incredible pre-research tool. Ooh, yeah. I would never go with the research AI did for me, but it's a hell of a starting point to point me to places where I can get a really good read.
I'll just share one thing. Mm-hmm. I called to look at the number one ranked post. And yeah, give me a bunch of points in it and a summary on each post with the entities that are in that section included in the summary.
And from the prompts that you use, how accurate is the feedback?
Yeah, it's, let's say I use it. Without editing it much.
Okay.
The only thing that I found a problem with, right, was I'm writing this kind of course and I wrote something and I hate, like, the only reason I haven't done a course, Jim, is because I hated writing the questions, right? It seemed like too much work. So I gave AI the what I'd wrote, said, listen, give me 15 questions from this post. Gave me 15 questions. Then in the next prompt, I said, tell me which are the right answers. Didn't have one right.
Ah, okay.
Okay. So she got a ways to go.
It did help you come up with the question with questions. So were the questions good? Were the questions useful?
The questions were, I thought, oh yeah, that's what I would want. That's any student that was using this, right?
You'd want them to have paid attention and to have been able to summarize enough to be able to ask those questions or questions
that's
like
right.
That.
Did they understand it enough to do pick one of four answers, right?
But it wasn't able to get to actually ascertain which of the answers was correct.
Right. Because some of it, like, you have to have one question that is nonsense, right? So I was writing about entities, and it was throwing all this stuff in there about links, right? That was in the questions. And sometimes it picked the stuff about links. And sometimes it just, I don't think, understood its own question.
In the future, as you prepare material to train SEOs or course material for tests, do you try to create, for want of a better word, an AI trap? So if the student is cheating using AI or something, they'll obviously trigger a response?
Because if they're doing that, the only person they're cheating is the poop themselves.
This is just a very philosophical way to look at it.
Well, I'm not going to worry about stuff like that, Jim. You know me well enough to know that's about how I'd look at it.
Okay. Let's roll back into this core update. We've been teasing the audience with you are the experienced hand. You've been you're one of the most experienced SEOs in the business right now.
Yeah, some of it will kind of make people wonder. But
you've been around long enough that you can take a counterintuitive view of things, and chances are there's a foundation to it somewhere.
That's the only way I do things, Jim. Yeah, I don't follow the, masses.
The title of your article released on SEOPros.org on April 9th, 2024 was SEO Triage, HCU Recovery by a Recovered Site Owner. And again, the actual page title was My 20-Year History with Google Updates.
Right.
Your title, subtitle, I suppose, suggests HCU recovery. Do you think it's possible to recover from the helpful content update?
Yeah. And that was kind of, I use that title to show people the kind of experience that they were putting on people when they did that.
Okay.
Okay. So clickbaity title, right? Mm-hmm. People get to the page, and I tell them, yeah, I misled you a little bit.
Okay.
You know, I'm a recovering addict, and I own websites. So I have recovered now for 30 years,
Your concluding statement, in fact, yeah. Your second last paragraph before you go into points on what SEO triage is, HCO has been baked into the main algo, so you could see improvements quite fast. However, no one knows yet how that will happen. I will say I'm convinced 5 years was too long. It's more likely 3 years to full recovery and 18 months to see rankings returning. A year and a half for real? Like are people in the doghouse that long?
They have to grain. That's if that's from the time that they do the pruning and remove the unhelpful content, which is dragging the helpful content down.
And, okay, so they start working on the website. It's never too late to start working. Don't worry about there being a update going right now. If you think that your website, your content isn't, quote unquote, helpful, it's not too late to start working on it. It's never too early to start working on it. So here's a $1 million question to you, Terry.
Yeah.
Helpful's only seven letters long, but it's an awfully big word.
Yeah.
What does Google mean by it?
Oh, okay. It means quality. Shoot, I just wrote it. It means quality content that is from a trusted place. It shows that you've verified facts, that kind of stuff. So you're citing where you're getting your information from. You've proven that you're a brand by having multiple, how do I say it? You're online and offline. In other words, you're known offline and online.
So you're an existent entity in a community or across the nation, whatever. You exist in the real world.
Well, I wrote it down there. I can't remember exactly, but there were four things, and Danny kind of mentioned them.
Mm-hmm.
And they made a lot of sense to me. So I included them in the post.
If somebody has been hit by the helpful content update, first of all, how do they know they were hit by helpful?
I use a site called Penguin.
Mm-hmm.
You have to kind of know how it works because GA4 threw a spanner into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Google's new analytics suite.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. It doesn't work like it used to. It still shows you the updates and where they occurred. But when you're looking, you can see where it changed from GA to GA4, right? So you kind of have to take it out in pieces. But that was a site that I started using with Panda because it's the only reliable way to tell when you were hit, if you were hit for sure. Because what it does is it takes your Google Analytics, your organic traffic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And lays the overlays the updates on top of that.
So the timing of the update. So if you were hit by, you were hit on March the 10th, 1991, I'm just pulling out of my head for no reason at all. It probably corresponds with what happened. 91 was way too early, but it probably corresponds with what happened around this time.
They're okay. Right on. They use the announced times and stuff like that.
And what's the URL for that? For listeners, Penguin. You said it was
not
Penguin.
Off my the top.
It's Penguin. P-A-N-G.
Digital though, I think, or something like that now.
Okay, but people can do a Google search for it under Penguin.
If they search for Penguin. The Penguin tool, it's number one.
Okay. So you know you've been hit by Helpful. You've lost substantial amount of traffic, if not all. Mm-hmm. You're kind of like Wile E. Coyote, dangling way above the abyss, about to fall. What do you do? You're in trouble. What do you do?
First thing you should do is look for the unhelpful content. That's why I use a site operator.
Mm-hmm.
I used to use that for all this kind of stuff because and to see how much of my content was going into supplement. Because a lot of that thing at the end was, we know about this, but there's a million like it. We're not going to include it. That's a good indication that you've written stuff that's Google doesn't care about.
So what if you were in the index at one time and then suddenly you find the page crawled but not indexed? Would that be an indicator?
That would definitely be an indicator. But that doesn't happen. What happened? I have some old experience with this. SEO pros, right? I wrote articles that in 2001 or two about how to find an SEO and what to look at when you're hiring them and what they should provide you when you've hired them, right? That ranked for more like so long, but it's gone now. And I think it probably got dropped out of the it's still in the index. Like I can get it on and
it's just not ranking in the top 10 anymore
because it's too old.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so I'll just rewrite it and I'll bet it'll go right back to the top.
Oh, very likely.
Well, it's SEO pros, you know.
Yeah, now this
I have a little bit of authority, you could say.
SEO pros is a very old domain. Never had a penalty assigned against it. Never had a bad word said about it. It was always a very nice neighbor, quiet but nice. It's never run afoul of Google. It's been around for a very long time. It's got a great link profile, like a lot of strong incoming links. Although I wonder how many of those still exist, because again, it's been around so long.
A few of them that are still up, that's all I would need. Let's say they're that topically authoritative.
You've got somebody come to you, a webmaster,
Nope, she's a blogger. I would call her a webmaster for sure.
Well, I wasn't going to talk about her, but now that we are. Okay. So you have somebody come to you, just somebody out of the blue come to you, and they had a successful website. They got hit by a Helpful. They need their income back. What are the first tips you would give them, besides get rid of the Helpful content? What are the tips you would give them to take action and set themselves up best they can for that long, lonely 18 months.
Yeah. The first thing I did was ask her, why did you put ads every second paragraph? Adbine said to do that.
Okay.
So Adbine was the first thing I told her to remove from her site.
So this is a well-meaning person who got involved in a...
I'll only say this. She's a professional writer.
Okay. Well, again, somebody who made a website, and Christina and I have had debates about these kind of people before. Her heart goes out to them, and I'm wondering why the hell they got in onto the NHL rink to begin with. But I understand why they did, and I know I'm the jerk here. But they did all the right things. They got, in this case, she got involved in an ad network to monetize her website, and that means of monetization mucked her up.
Yeah. It has a lot to do with it. Here's, okay. For me, when I do an ad strategy, right? Like SEO pros, I didn't have to get an ad network. I did it myself by saying, you want advertising on this site? Contact me and pay me. That simple. However, I always have my stuff labeled sponsored, even in the results when they were sponsored. For the list of SEOs, when they were sponsored, it even said, this is a KSEM membership. This is a, I forget what this, but anyhow, there were three levels and each one was had right with the listing what it was.
Well, and that's a basic Google rule, is it not?
No, that's the law. FTC, brother, you have to. By law, tell people when you're doing that.
Oh, I see. On the. I'm sorry. I thought you were tagging it as a sponsored link. Much like one what would tag.
Oh no, I don't use no follow at all.
Okay.
Only excuse me, on the profile page when I link to the member. I use no follow there.
Yeah. So get rid of the ads, get rid of extraneous stuff that might either slow the page down or create a craptastic user experience.
Yeah.
What else would they, what else would somebody do?
The next thing that I've told her to do was to start thinking about new monetization strategy. Okay. So there's no point in writing until you have a strategy for how you're going to make money out.
Okay, but there's no going back to the way she was doing it before.
No.
That's done.
I think we're going to run some AdSense, but only one banner and maybe one in the margin.
Okay, no, so helpful. Now, in this one person's case, helpful was targeting a user experiencing craptastic ad placements.
No, actually, they were hit by... I think 7 different updates.
Okay.
Didn't know any better. And for 5 of them, she just kept growing because she hadn't tripped. She hadn't reached the magic number.
Okay. So she's slowly bleeding traffic, but she's not hemorrhaging.
No, she went straight up, straight down, leveled out. When she got hit by the next one, went down a little bit more. And now she's down to pretty well just direct traffic and social. Hardly any Google stuff.
Will she get it back?
Yep.
But it may take, I mean, like, seriously, I'm looking at your article here where it says 18 months.
Yep.
And I don't want to tell Webmasters that. That's terrifying.
Yeah, well.
That's real. That's
better.
Reality.
They know what to expect. Like, hey, I may be. I hope I am.
Out of curiosity, what are you making that prediction on, Terry?
Pardon me.
What are you making that prediction on? What information?
Other stuff that I've done, Panda for one.
So in your experience, it'll take about this long to see a recovery because that's how long it's taken in the past.
Yeah. I think Lily mentioned something about that as well.
Okay.
And a lot of what she says, she talks to a lot more people, has a lot more contact, and seen a lot more things. So she's kind of a go-to.
This is a weird. That's a weird place to. We're reaching end of time soon, and I don't want to leave people thinking you're screwed for the next year and a half.
No,
you mentioned earlier. Find new revenue tools. Here's
what
it
depends on, right? Mm-hmm. You're depending on when the update is going to go. So if it's baked in, right, and nothing has to be updated, you could see green shoots like as soon as you clean it up, remove the unhelpful stuff. The first time it comes and indexes your site, it might say, oh, they removed all this stuff. All these pages are gone. Like, I can't give anything more than what I've seen in the past, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tell you, oh, it'll be 6 months. What good is that? Like, how does that help?
Just to clarify for listeners, it's possible to get good rankings for individual posts while still not having Google's complete trust. So those individual posts might go up and down and stuff, but you're not going to see the traffic you would see as if Google really, really liked your website. That might take a bit longer.
Here's how I would describe it, Jim. If I was starting from where they'll be, I would pick low-hanging fruit, non-competitive terms, start growing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
So make it a plan, sort of like a steep plateau plan to get back into Google's graces. Yes.
Think of it. That's how you build out a new site, right? Pick your low-hanging fruit. Get some visibility, and you know, if you're writing good stuff. And here's her main advantage: she has a huge following on Facebook.
Okay, so
Instagram.
And
her direct traffic, like she gets more direct traffic than probably a lot of businesses. Right, because she's talking about tourism. She actually lives close to where she's writing about, right? The people who are, she gets people, I'm sure, that I want to do something this weekend. Let's go to this place and see what she suggests. That's going on.
For the most part, she eats well, you're saying.
She's a good writer. Like I said, she's actually professional.
Mm-hmm.
And she also does TV spots occasionally about, places.
About her expertise.
Yes.
Okay. So it sounds like she's got a good foundation to move from already.
Yeah.
What about the beleaguered affiliate marketer out there who uses SEO techniques to try to improve their offerings on whatever it is they're selling? And we see those guys all over all over Reddit, all over SEO forums. They've been hit really badly.
Yeah. I'd clap, but that would be rude.
Okay. Well, also, this is radio, so it's more of a visual thing, you see.
Okay, so
for those guys, they probably weren't making helpful content to begin with?
No. Look, here's my, how would I say it? When you have a site that the only monetization on is advertising, what does that site screen?
Newspaper.
No, it screens. I'm writing this to rank on Google.
Okay, made for AdSense website.
Yeah, not even AdSense. Like, if they were using AdSense, it would probably be a lot better.
So Google does have a whole set of documentation on how affiliate ads are fine. So if that is the case and that's why they hit people, then they needed to tell us.
Well,
because they say that people need to make money to support themselves, so they don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
But for the affiliate website
then
owners, you got to make good, really good content.
Well, of course, yeah, it has to be good content. I'm just saying they say they don't care. So if they do now care, they need to tell us that.
They have always cared. When affiliate marketing, when Google first came out, one of the things they said was, we do not want to send a user to site A so they can go to site B to buy it. What does Google want to do?
They have documentation now that doesn't say that. It does say they're okay with it.
Okay. If you want to go down the, it's not documented, it ends here.
Well, okay, so.
Yeah, I don't play that game.
Google will rank affiliate websites, but it's not going to rank every affiliate website, because let's face it, most affiliate websites aren't making content that is compelling, useful, new, authoritative, correct, or stuff that in any way moves the dial in quality.
Why is Pinterest able to use affiliate links? Because people want to be there. It's good content, right? Mm-hmm. Everything comes down to, what's the content like? If the content's crap and you've got all these affiliate links, none of them marked as sponsored, people don't know what they're clicking on, that you're going to make money, which is actually against the law.
A lot of these people got into the internet, got into this kind of webmaster and web marketing because their jobs were eliminated during the pandemic or post-pandemic, or because of the AI revolution. This is an open-ended statement more than a question. I think we're going to see a lot more of people getting into the web, and like the client you're talking about, Terry, somebody who's actually making useful content.
Yeah.
But they got caught in a very, very, Google doesn't cast small nets. It can only cast a wide net and then improve on the net as it understands what it's catching. I'm still stuck on this 18 months. I feel terrible for this person that you're talking about, and the people like her, because there's a lot of people like her that were caught up in these updates. Well, but then there's a lot of people like those, you know.
Well, I'll say
spam
this:
machines.
If HCU is baked into the main algo, right, and every time they index your page, right, and they get a new page and they index your site and see, oh, they removed 300 pages. They removed half their site. And now they've only got good pages there, right? Mm-hmm. What's the threshold now, Jim?
I don't know. I'm hoping that would cause Google to recrawl the entire website and evaluate it again.
They will, because we'll change the, believe me, they will.
Okay.
Well, remember, you got a robot tax, not a robot tax, but a sitemap in there, right?
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
I don't think you can upload them anymore. I used to upload mine every month.
Oh, you don't upload it anymore, but you should register your sitemap with Search Console and with Bing Webmaster Tools. Let them know the sitemap that you want them to be looking at.
Yeah.
And make sure that anything that's in that XML sitemap comports with what's actually on the web page, because Google hates it when you direct them somewhere they're not supposed to be.
Yeah.
Especially when you officially direct them there.
Yeah. I like fixing things, and then after they validate the fix, sometimes they'll go back and index some stuff.
Okay, so last, I guess, question. We know that recently Google has said that HCU is no longer a site-wide thing, That originally they said it was a site-wide thing. So if you had some crappy content, your whole
Did
site
they
might get.
say it was site-wide?
They did it originally, like back in September,
None
maybe
of
even before
the.
that.
Yeah, it's a site-wide
But
evaluation.
I've read recently they've pulled back on that.
Yes, it's
No.
page. It's by
No.
the page. It says so right in
I'm
the.
pretty sure they pulled back on that, Christine, in the
Right
last
in the
couple of weeks.
documentation, they've changed it to say, yeah, by the way, this is actually at the page level. And
It is
here's.
at the page level. They just apply the evaluation to the entire site based on how many pages they find are not good or not helpful.
Yeah, right. So there's like a threshold. But I just want to make this comment, Jim. All of this is based on machine learning. Okay. I say that starting with Panda, that machine learning is being totally revamped each time they do a new thing like HCU. So you start with Panda, then it gets amplified again with Goopla or PLA, the page layout algorithm, cleaned up some more of it. Then what was the next one? Anyhow, you end up at HCU and you have all the phantoms that were probably Google, the baked-in stuff being updated and people seeing volatility as a result. Yeah, I believe it's all started from the same machine learning thing. It gets updated and improved. And that's kind of how I see it. So there, I just call them the content quality updates.
Okay, well, I got the feeling, and this is something I'm a little confused on. My gut tells me this has become Everfresh. It's just part of the Everflux algorithm. But a piece of me is saying, yeah, but the way they phrase it makes it sound like it's only going to be rolled out during specific updates. What is this? Is HCU part of Everflux?
I don't know what Everflux is.
Everflux is just the algorithm, just the
Oh,
regular
well,
operating of
yeah, it's
flux of
baked
Google.
into it. So, well, it's kind of like a ranking system within it. That's how I'd
Well, if that's the way it is, then if you do improvements, and Christine, you're con constantly saying this is a math formula, so you got to be triggering something.
Yeah.
Interesting. Maybe recoveries can happen a lot faster, and
Oh, Jim, you know what it all depends on? When it sees that you've restored some of your trust, right? And that you've removed all these bad things, you should see stuff start to. I don't think you'll see anything really rise, but you won't see it go down anymore. But you might see it rise too. Like, who knows? Like, that's the thing. We're trying to, how do I say it? We're trying to predict the future of what Google's going to do.
And sometimes it's hard to
Well, I don't
I
like to say stuff that, going to come back and bite me.
well, that's the fun thing about doing a public predictive show like this. Every once in a while we are going to say things that come back at us, but we do warn the audience, everything you hear on Webcology is our
Yeah.
opinion. Well-educated opinion, but are nevertheless our opinions. We got to get going. We got another show coming up in studio, and we're a little bit over time now.
Yeah. Okay. No problem.
Terry, man, it's always fun having you here. You're a great guest. Your breadth of SEO knowledge is amazing. And man, thank you for joining us on Webcology today.
Well, thanks for having me, and I hope people check out my new community, SEO Triage, for people who want to get help with HCU. It's free, by the way. I'm not charging.
Okay. Friends, that's well, you know, I just want to have a quick conversation with Christine, but we can't. We're out of time. I'm so sorry. So, on behalf of Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. You've been listening to Webcology live on the WMR network and any place that fine podcasts come to you. Friends, be kind to each other. Rank well. Be responsible out there on the internet. And Christine and I will talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.